opening game for the VGK. It takes place on January 14th against the Anaheim Ducks. And here is the head coach of the Vegas Golden Knights, Pete DeBoer. You know, I was thinking about how are you, coach, first of all?
I'm good, Darren. Ryan, how are you guys?
We are getting by. We're excited about some hockey talk, but I was thinking about this the other day as I was driving out to Henderson. You were brought in and you joined the team for that game in Ottawa, and it was the midst of an 8-game road trip. And I know you know this, but I'll say it for everybody listening. Then you come back and the season stops, and you go to the bubble, and now this a season halfway through. Like, there's been so much going on and such a non-traditional side of it. Are you finally settled into Las Vegas now?
Great question. You know, I closed on a house in February, I believe. Never slept a night in it until November.
Really?
So, yeah, that's true. I mean, we shut the season down. I was having, some stuff done, painted, things like that. So I didn't get into it the first couple weeks I had it. We shut the season down, and I believe it was in February or early March. And then I came back for training camp, but because of COVID, my furniture hadn't got here yet from San Jose because nobody was moving anything. And then I went home right after the bubble and stayed in Canada until November 1st so I could spend some time with my parents who were in their 80s and some other things without having to quarantine. And so anyway, my first night sleeping in my house that I bought 8 months ago was in November. And we've had a great, I guess it's been almost 2 months now in Vegas. My wife and I getting to know the area, meeting a lot of people, spent Christmas here. So it's been awesome.
Before we get deep into the hockey side of it, you've coached in Florida, New Jersey, San Jose, so three very different markets. What have you thought about and your impressions of living in Las Vegas?
Yeah, you know, I always appreciated the environment in the rink and how passionate and loud and crazy the building was, and what an advantage it was as an opposing coach coming in here. I never realized how deeply ingrained the team is in the community until you live in the community. And, everywhere you go, you see VGK license plate or VGK hats or people recognize you. I coached in a hockey hotbed in New Jersey, New York area. It wasn't even close to the type of attention and how ingrained it is here, and that, what a testament to a team that's only 3 or 4 years old. So it's a passionate city, and they're passionate about their Knights, and it's great to work in that environment.
He is Pete DeBoer, VGK head coach, on the VGK Insider Show on Fox Sports Las Vegas with Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace. Ryan.
You know, Pete, you had the experience of going through kind of a truncated camp ahead of the return to play over the summer. How is that experience going to inform what you do this camp as you lead up to the 2020-21 season?
Well, it was a shortened camp compared to a traditional training camp, but when we actually looked at it, because we left and played exhibition games in the bubble, we actually had, I think it was 10 or 11 full practice days, which is really rare. Even on a regular NHL season, you're probably getting 4 or 5 before you're playing exhibition games. And usually you have, two teams of guys. So I actually found the bubble camp as quality a camp as I've been able to run at the NHL level, with the number of days we had, the small number of players we had. And I thought we got an awful lot accomplished. And I thought that showed with how our play and how we started in the bubble. This is similar, a little bit bigger group, not quite as long a camp as the pre-bubble camp, but no exhibition games, and then we're playing live. So for actually what we need to get done on the coaching front. It's a well laid out camp, so we're excited to get going.
You spent so much time in the summer before you went to the bubble, working through systems and special teams, and you really that was the first time that you had an extended period of time to put your hands on this group. Will it be the same approach this time after you've come off that that experience in the summer?
Well, obviously, way more familiar with players and the personalities, and also with our game.
Right.
You know, I thought the bubble experience was exceptional for me. I mean, a coach never gets it's funny, but you know, you always hear about, you know, a coach or a team wanting to get on the road to bond. Well, we had 52 days of eating, sleeping, living, right, watching hockey together with nowhere else to go. You know, that never happens. And you know, as painful as it was, you know, we got into the second month of that, it was so beneficial for me to get to know the players get to know me, you know, us as a coaching staff to be able to get to know each other and spend time around each other. Obviously, I'd worked with Steve Spott before, but both Ryans I hadn't spent any time with at all, hardly, after I got the job, other than our road trip. So it was extremely beneficial from that point, and I feel we're way ahead of where we would have been otherwise. So, you know, the goal for us right now is to take the good things we did in the bubble that got us into the Final Four of a very competitive league of 30 plus teams, and do the things that improve on the things that we need to in order to make sure we're in the final two, and hopefully the last one standing next year.
Just a structural question about camp. In the summer, it was really unusual because you weren't allowed to really be around the players until you got on the ice with them, because everybody was spread around, and then you guys were in the coach's office. Is that different next week? Will you be able to hold video sessions and a more traditional coaching approach?
We will, but with parameters and with COVID restrictions, you know, we're limited in the size of the group we can present to. So we've got to break the group up into smaller groups in order to present. But we will be able to do video once we get on the ice. You know, we get a full complement of guys. So it'll be close to a normal camp, you know, as normal as things can be in these times. I just got off an hour call. Honestly, if people want to know what goes on behind the scenes, we just had an hour call on how we're going to feed the players with all the COVID parameters that the NHL and the local health authorities and everyone else has put out. You know, it sounds easy, but you know, you don't want to eat on planes because you have to take your mask off in confined spaces. You don't want to eat on buses. And you know, Darren, you've traveled before with an NHL team. You know, yeah, we do a lot of eating on planes and buses because we're racing off to the next place. So, you know, they've got to come up with different ideas to do all those things.
Is it more complicated than you thought?
Way more complicated than I thought. Way more complicated. And we've got a really diligent group between our trainers and Bronco and our management staff and our owner really helps in that, you know, there's no budget for doing it right and making sure that health is at the forefront. And that helps a ton because we have ownership like that. So, but it's complicated. As everybody has seen by the trials the NBA has had, by going back around Christmas and some of the soccer leagues around the world, the NFL, you know, there's going to be some bumps in the road.
You know, Pete, when you look at the West Division as it shakes out right now, obviously the inclusion of Colorado, St. Louis, and Minnesota, it's a tough division. Do you view that as kind of a positive, just to really see where your team is against some really, really strong teams here in the West?
Yeah, you don't have any choice but to look at it as a positive. And I actually do. I think when I look at the bubble and I look at the road Dallas had to the final, you know, they didn't have an easy series anywhere through. They got Colorado the round before us, then they had us, then they ended up with Tampa. And they didn't win, but it didn't hurt them that they had to go through some really good teams in order to keep advancing. So, you know, I'm taking that approach. And you could argue that we maybe had a little bit of an easier path, and it might have hurt us a little bit when we got to a really hardened team. So I don't know if there's a right answer. I do know this, you know, if I'm putting the top teams in the NHL down on a piece of paper prior to the season, Colorado, you know, is probably in the top two or three for me, and St. Louis is in the top five. So that makes it an ultra-competitive division, and whoever gets out of there is really going to have to earn it.
This may be a funny question to you, but when you're facing seven teams in 56 games and there's so much repetition, do you do more coaching or less coaching, do you think?
Yeah, well, I love that format. I mean, for me, it's playoff type format. You get used to a team. We're playing a lot of back to backs where you get the same team again, so you can make those adjustments. I think you do just as much coaching, but you can really dive into the detail of the teams a lot more, and into what you want to do and your adjustments. You know, you make a lot more adjustments, and they're a lot more important based on your opponent than you would when you're rolling through an 82 game season, you know, playing a different team every night. So for me, it's playoff type hockey, and I think all coaches like coaching in that type of environment.
I was talking before you came on about how you're great with the one-liners, and I love the talk about the goaltending in the summer, but we're going to do this dance because my feet are getting tired. But you got people excited when you dropped the line, "We don't look at birth certificates," and that goes to Cody Glass and Peyton Krebs. So just comment on those two players and the expectations of those two players after Krebs gets done with the World Junior Championship and Cody obviously coming off the injury.
Yeah, both exciting young players, and when I look around the league and you see some of the great young players in the league and how important a part they played. I mean, we had a great example in the bubble in the playoffs when we played Chicago and Kirby Dach, the big centerman. I didn't know a lot about him. I thought next to Taves and Kane, he was maybe their best player at the end of that series. And you know, he's the same age as Krebs and younger than Cody Glass. So obviously special, you have to be a special player to be able to play in this league at that age and especially be effective. But I think, you know, both our guys have those qualities. And, you know, we're going to give them a real good look and a real good opportunity. And they're going to get a chance to play with really good players, which, you know, most of the time, if you're the real deal, you take advantage of those situations.
You know, Pete, goalies are always going to rule the day, especially in a season like this where you've got 56 games in about 116 days. Have you started to kind of put together maybe a framework of what you want a rotation to look like, or is that really just going to be kind of a day-to-day type situation?
Yeah, no, I don't have a framework. I know we're going to need both guys. I know having two guys like the guys we have is going to be a huge advantage to us. How that rolls out, I honestly haven't thought about it yet. I know as a coach I'm going to have the luxury of having a fresh starter sitting there ready to go whenever we deem that he needs to jump in because the other guy either is tired or is having an off night. And that's a luxury that I haven't had, I don't believe, in my coaching career yet. And it couldn't be a better season to have that type of luxury with the condensed schedule we have.
I'll let the record show, 4:20 Pacific time on December 29th on the VGK Insider Show. It was Ryan Wallace that asked the first goalie question. to Pete DeBoer.
You're welcome.
About the 2020-2021
season.
Before we let you go, I want to ask you about Alex Pietrangelo, what you know of him, past history between the two of you, and where you see him lining up. And then I've got just one parting one, just about the whole situation of you in Vegas and the year and a half that you've gone through.
Yeah, well, Petro, I've watched since he was a 15-year-old playing minor hockey, and I was coaching junior, and he was up for the draft. And, he's been an elite player his whole life. Had the opportunity to coach him on a world championship team 1 year. And, but more importantly, I've seen him firsthand from the opposite bench in San Jose, on a couple of deep playoff runs for both teams, the year they won and the year we went to the finals. I feel I know the player and the person from those experiences, and he's the whole package. He can do it all. We're lucky because those type of players don't come available, and if they do, I think Kelly said it best, you have to take a swing at them because it's so rare that you get a guy like that in his prime that is available unless you're picking first or second overall. So, and we don't intend to be doing that. So excited to work with him. I know he's excited to be here in Vegas with his family. And, this guy just wants to win, and you get that every time you talk to him.
Well, there's been so much stops and starts and such an unusual time from joining the team midway through the season and then the journey that you've taken. Did it feel like your team in the summer, or now does it feel like this is your hockey team?
I really felt that as we moved through the bubble. Okay. I thought, every round we got better and took on more characteristics of how I feel that we need to play in order to give ourselves a chance to win. I felt we had real good buy-in from everybody as we moved through that bubble experience. And honestly, I told the players at the end, I didn't feel like any of those games that we lost, we couldn't have won. The margins were that small. So we've got to find that extra edge. As a staff, as a group of players, I really like this group, and I really feel like they're playing with it or have taken on the identity that we're looking to play with.
Chris Chapman back in our studio. You have one, and this is more along the. This is the guy that asked you about the Danish in the airport. So get ready for this one because I have no idea where he's going with this, Pete.
I'm but prepared, last one, I'm prepared. Right?
Yeah. Last one goes to you, Chris.
Yeah, hey coach. Hope you had a good off season. But there's a rumor floating around that you're a big fan of live music and you're a big music guy. Maybe some Blink-182. I'm just curious if you could kind of fill us in on what kind of music Coach Pete DeBoer listens to when he's not focusing on hockey.
You know what? I'm a huge music fan, and I will tell you, I'm all over the map, though. I was a huge 80s music fan, and then my kids, who are now all teenage college age, have gotten me into country, and big Darius Rucker fan now after watching him, because he's got the mix of the 80s and the country with Hootie and the Blowfish and his country background. More recently, my wife has the holiday music on our TV on a constant rollover every hour here through Christmas. So that's one genre I'm looking forward to turning off here January 1st.
Now, what's the go-to Christmas song?
Oh, God. You know what? She loves the Bing Crosby, the old stuff. So I think I've heard it so many times. That I don't know if I like it, but it keeps playing in my head.
Well, at least we have that in common, Pete. Neither one of us gets to work the TV or use the TV at our houses. Thanks for doing this. Good luck through training camp, and it's going to be an adventure, and it's going to be a journey. You know that from me. Your son's playing hockey, and we look forward to watching this unfold from firsthand.
Thanks, guys.
There's Pete DeBoer, the head coach of the Vegas Golden Knights.